Today, we are going to continue our series about lost. And this whole month, we're going over different moments in Scripture where specific people had these like lost moments. Last week, we talked about the moments in which we messed up and made a mistake. And we went over the story of Jonah and what it was like for him to feel lost and then find his way back. Before that, we talked about Esther and what it was like for her to all of a sudden all these things go wrong in her life, lost, and managed to still take hold of what was in front of her to find her way in this new chapter of her life. Today, we're going to be looking at the story of Joshua, and we're going to talk about this was sudden. And it's going to be a moment in which we're talking about those seasons and chapters where it's like this new promotion. And so often we're waiting. Y'all like my new little thing here? It's because I hate like looking down at my notes, and so I got this so I could be more like eye level. Y'all dig what I'm saying? So it's just a little thing. We'll see how it goes. But so often we're waiting and hoping for some type of promotion or a level up in our lives. And when it actually happens, it's almost like when we're praying for those things or hoping for those things, we imagine that it's never really going to happen, that we're just like living on the lottery number. And we commonly feel lost when it actually does work out. And as we try to figure out how to handle those responsibilities that come with it, we feel lost in those moments. And it's so crucial to get a grip on our self-confidence as we step into these new roles with courage and hope, rather than feeling like, what am I going to do now? It actually happened. And today we're going to be unpacking the story of Joshua and learn lessons from his unexpected promotion of leadership. And we're going to examine certain implications that come with promotion that people often don't at first realize or consider. And we're going to unpack what it was like, what it was that made Joshua ready for that new season in his life in the first place. And we're going to see how he both learned and honored the people from before him in his past in order to succeed in the future. And the reason that this kind of topic is important to talk about is because many times that promotion, when it happens in the times that we least expect it, many times people end up talking themselves out of fully embracing that new chapter. They live on the fence of intimidation, feeling like they're not really ready for that new season. And this message should not only help you to step into that new season, but it also should make you feel more prepared for that season when it does come to you. Now, in this message, we're going to go about it a little bit unique today. See, one way I like to go through stories of Scripture is I like to find almost like peculiar instances. I kind of said that peculiar. I have a speech impediment, so give me a break. But I like to find these peculiar moments and find powerful lessons in the peculiar. Y'all feel me? I once heard it said to find the obvious lessons in the obscure moments of Scripture. And that's kind of what we're going to look at today, is find these little moments that we can learn something from. And as we go through Joshua's story, we're going to first start off by talking about this idea of unexpected promotion. And the best and most intimidating opportunities often come by surprise. For Joshua, look how it was for him in this story. Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 3 says, "So Moses went and spoke these words to all of Israel, and he said to them, 'I'm 120 years old today, and I'm no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has told me, you shall not cross this Jordan. It is the Lord your God who is going to cross ahead of you, and he himself would destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who is going to cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken.'" So consider for Joshua, and as a preface, we're going to read a lot of Scripture today. But for Joshua, imagine what it was like being Moses' assistant, the entire leadership of Moses. Always looking to him for the answers. He's the one that hears from God. He's the one that's taking this next step. And he was totally faithful to Moses. Like he was his role model. And all of a sudden, Moses, unexpected, the promise all the way from Egypt was that Moses was going to take them into the promised land. And right before they get there, Now Joshua is the one that's going to do it. Moses isn't going to hold your hand anymore. Joshua is. He's going to be the one to step in. And think about how he trusted Moses completely through every trial, through every problem, every confusing circumstance. They faced so many confusing situations as they went through wandering through the wilderness. And just consider what it would be like when you would see, he's seeing Moses in the struggles that he had to deal with. And there's plenty of times where he could look at Moses like, dang, I'm just glad I'm not the one that has to make this decision. I'm here for you, Moses, but that's a lot to carry. And now all of a sudden he's like, guess what, buddy? You're it now. You're the guy. And all of a sudden, he has to be the one to do it after all. He gets this promotion unexpectedly. And just like that, all of the weight of responsibility is now on his shoulders as the people are looking to him of what to do next. And as we go through this message today, I want you to consider the multiple ways that this can apply to your life. Could it be just a normal job promotion? Yes. Could it be an unexpected opportunity? Maybe it's even all of a sudden you're going to get married, or all of a sudden you got pregnant and you have this new level of life that you didn't expect before, but you're it now. You're the person that's going to be handling business. When we got pregnant with our babies, it's like the first one we waited, we were trying for 3 years. Our second one though was by surprise. And it was like this level of promotion I was terrified of. It's like, I was mentally ready for one baby, but like, we just got this one and now we're going to have two. Like, it was scary. So consider the multiple ways that this applies to life as we go through this message today. For Joshua, that weight of responsibility is unexpectedly on his shoulders. Similarly, we each have these surprising moments of blessed responsibilities that leave us feeling intimidated. It leaves us wondering if we're enough for the task, if we're really able to do this. And that's why the first several chapters of Joshua's promotion, you read it again and again. Go look in yourself in the book of Joshua, and over, God and people are telling him, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. To where it's weird almost of how often people are telling him this. But when you realize the weight he's all of a sudden going to carry unexpectedly, it's like, oh, they're like really trying to hype him up for this. Like, this is a lot to handle. And as we go along, we're gonna pull these specific lessons. Number one, when it comes to that new promotion, this is the idea of how you should handle those unexpected surprises, those unexpected promotions that may not seem like a promotion at first. Maybe it just seems like a lot of responsibility that's now on your shoulders. The first thing that you have to realize is to not hesitate to be victorious in the matter. For Joshua, in this first moment, Joshua 1:1-3, it says, now it came about after the death of Moses, servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. So now arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel, every place on which the sole of your foot steps. I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. See, the reason that this is meaningful to consider is that this is Joshua's, it's his first chapter, the first verses, and it's God saying, you're it, boy. You got this. Everywhere you go, you will win. Everything you set out to do, as intimidating as it may feel, I got your back. And it's this idea of confidence. Confidence. Having the self-confidence to step forward. And he had to fully embrace his new role with confidence and simply believe that God was going to work things out for him. We often, instead of feeling that confidence, we go to insecurity. And we battle in our heads over and over, what if I fail? What if I mess up? What if I ruin this kid's life? We have all these doubts and wonders as we step into it. The first thing you got to do is not hesitate to be victorious. But don't sabotage your mindset, but walk forward believing that God is with you. The second thing to understand for this new chapter is that for new chapters to begin, old ones must end. For Joshua, And 5:8-9, it says, now, when they had finished circumcising all the nation, they remained in their places in the camp until they recovered. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the shame of Egypt from you. So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. So this is really symbolic because in this, right before they enter the promised land, right before they go into battle and start this whole process of really entering this thing that they were hoping for all of their lives, they go through this process in which they circumcise all the people in the camp, all the men in the camp, and it was a symbolic note where God says, I have removed and rolled away the shame of Egypt from you. Consider for Joshua that he, in this moment, he could no longer see himself as his old person anymore. He was a slave boy in Egypt. He's been alive since they left Egypt. Consider the dogma, the mentality that you have to really overcome in your head, in your heart. With now, he was once a slave boy in Egypt, and now he's leading an entire nation into battle against nations that have been around for decades before. They're just getting started. Think about how many times you had those intimidation factors. You're feeling like you're not validated for that new role because you still see yourself as that old person. I'm a pastor of a church, but I often see myself as that street kid from before. See, it's this idea that you can no longer see yourself with shame from your past. You have to step into this new chapter with confidence and also with the mindset that your old chapter is done. Great story. Moving on. Y'all feel what I'm saying? You can learn lessons. It's a part of your whole story. Yes, but that chapter can be closed. You can step into the new one and you don't have to hold on to these old labels of yourself. No one is asking you, God is not asking you to still consider yourself an Egyptian slave. Whatever it is for you, whatever you want to put in that blank, God is not telling you to label yourself that. And your subconscious doesn't have to hold you back with shame. You don't have to have this mentality of guilt from your past, but you can step forward into that new chapter. And you have to move on in your mind in order to open this new chapter in your life. You cannot continue to see yourself from the past. Y'all dig what I'm saying? And that's all that battle of our minds, right? Now, the last thing for this point is to understand with practical promotion comes spiritual implications. Right before they go to this battle, right in their first moment of the first place they're going to go to, Jericho, it says, in Joshua 5:13-15, God sends this angel of the Lord, a messenger, to speak to Joshua. And it says, we're going to read 13 and 15. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho, he raised his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our enemies? There's a little dialogue that happens. But it's clear, it becomes apparent to Joshua that this is a messenger of God. And then it says, and the captain of the Lord's army said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, the reason that this part is so pivotal is because think about this moment where Joshua is having a minute to himself. What happens when we have a minute to ourselves? What is the first thing that typically happens? That's a moment where all of our doubts begin to voice themselves, to make themselves known. And I'm making a joke. He just failed. This isn't going to work. Y'all dig what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, he sees this messenger of the Lord with a sword drawn, but the sword was drawn for, not against Joshua, but for Joshua. That God was ready to fight his battle, that he was already prepared spiritually. And it has this very specific note to where he tells him to remove his sandals because he's standing on holy ground. Where have we heard that before? Was it from his predecessor, Moses? When he was seeing the burning bush, remove your sandals for you're standing on holy ground. So there's this, in this moment, Joshua gets this spiritual empowerment to where in his moment that he could have been very well feeling discouraged or trying to overcome those doubts, he gets this spiritual empowerment from God and this validation saying you're spiritually ready to do this. But what I think that is most important for us to realize in this specific passage is that Joshua had to recognize this moment. He's seen the practical, you know when something practical happens, like it, where you still, maybe you got that promotion, but you think it was almost by accident. Y'all dig what I'm saying? Like, oh, we got pregnant, but it was just an accident. It was a mistake. Like, this isn't really what God wanted for us. We start thinking of all these reasons of why the practical disqualifies us, even though we're stepping into it. It doesn't matter what's going on in our heads in the practical. For Joshua, spiritually, this was a sign that no matter how he thought of himself, no matter how little we think of ourselves, even in our elevated positions, even as we're stepping into the next season, the spiritual warfare happens around us and in our lives, regardless of how we think of ourselves. It doesn't matter if you think little of yourself, the spiritual warfare is going to happen. You're going to get attacked by the devil no matter what. And in the same way, if you're important enough to be attacked in the spirit, you are also important enough to need to stand strong in the spirit. In this moment, this is a Joshua moment where he has a spiritual reassurance of this promotion. And for us, that this final thing that we need to do to really be mentally, physically, and heart ready is to spiritually walk into it, believing that God's sovereignty is with us. That God will make things work out. The things that we feel confused about, that we doubt, we can give unto God and we can battle. Y'all dig what I'm saying? Now that leads us into our next point, which is retroactive promotion. How you live now determines your future. See, for Joshua, it seemed like the promotion was sudden. Like it was just almost like an accident. Like he hit the lottery or, you know, they were playing bingo and they called Joshua's name. But his unknown preparations for it is what made this him ready. And it was fostered over the course of his life. See, God didn't just simply choose him at random, but it was the qualities that Joshua held in the little that prepared him for the much. It was in the ordinary that prepared him for the extraordinary. And because of his faithfulness, he was entrusted with this promotion. The first thing that I want us to understand, we're going to look at three things that he was faithful with before that prepared him for this promotion, that he was ready in the little, that made him ready for the much. And the first one is his grit. Exodus 17, 8 through 10, it shows, then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. And so Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. Joshua did as Moses told him, and he fought against Amalek. Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And in this moment, we see Joshua lead the battle for Israel's first fight against another nation. A fight that they didn't provoke, but they were provoked. They were attacked. And as they were defending themselves, Joshua goes out and follows Moses' instruction. What's unique about this is because this is when they're just leaving Egypt. This is when Joshua is very much just fresh as far as not being an Egyptian slave anymore. And Moses, who all of the people up to this point and thereafter consistently doubt Moses' ability to lead. Over and over, the people question Moses and his leadership, especially when it came to actually doing something. When we see Moses tell them to go and spy out the land, they came back and said, no, we're not going to go up against him. No way. They're not willing to put in the actual work to become the new nation. Joshua, though, he almost like follows Moses' orders blindly. He puts in the hard work and the grit to get the things done. It's not that he was just magically chosen, but he proved himself in the moments that he didn't hesitate to put in the work, to put in the actual blood, sweat, and tears to fight for those victories. And it was in that grittiness that prepared him ahead of time. He before he ever became the leader, he behaved like the leader. Y'all dig what I'm saying? Now, the next thing that we see in Joshua's past that prepared him for his future was his loyalty. In Numbers 11, 27 through 29, there's this incident where Moses is delegating the different leaders of Israel. And as he's delegating them with authority, the Spirit of God falls upon them and they start prophesying. And it says that two men were not a part of the group, but they were still leaders of the group. Again, another moment where they didn't listen to Moses, but the Spirit of God still fell on them. And says, so a young man ran and informed Moses and said, Eladad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, the personal servant of Moses from his youth, responded and said, my Lord Moses, restrain them. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? If only all of the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. So this is a moment where Joshua's heart is just so loyal to Moses, to where an incident happens that he doesn't necessarily understand. He feels confused about it, but even in his ignorance, he's just like, Moses, stop him. just do something. And his heart is just so loyal to Moses, even when it doesn't make sense. And it's this simple idea that time and time again, as the people rebelled, Joshua was loyal. As even in the moments when Aaron and Miriam, not only the head leaders of Israel too, but Moses' own brother and sister rebelled against him, spoke harshly against him, slandered him, gossiped against him. I'm getting like, kind of like PTSD with this. Like start thinking of people. It's like, that hurt. But even when they were against him, Joshua remained loyal. Remained loyal. Everybody else had their moments, but Joshua was faithful. And God could have chosen anybody to replace Moses, but he happened to choose a person who had this unwavering loyalty, this unwavering spirit, that even in times that he felt confused or didn't fully understand the picture, he still chose to be loyal. It was those moments that prepared him for his promotion. Y'all feel me? Now, the last thing that prepared Joshua that we're going to examine is the fact that he was full of faith. In Numbers 14, 6 through 10, it says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all of the congregation, the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to spy out is, if the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land. He'll bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. And their protection is gone from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. So this is their whole dialogue to the people saying, let's believe that God will do this. They spied out the land. 10 of the 12 spies said, we're going to die if we go against them. Joshua and Caleb are the ones that are telling the people, no matter what we saw that felt intimidating, God will have our backs. And then it says, but all of the congregation said to stone them with stones. I don't know if it necessarily needs to say with stones, but maybe it was just like to make us aware that this wasn't like a 420 incident, that this was like, they were going to kill him. And then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of the meeting to all the sons of Israel. So what's unique about this passage is that it displayed, that was funny, right? Because yesterday was 420. This passage not only displays Joshua's faith to see God do miracles, it shows that while everybody else doubted, everybody else only saw in the natural, while Joshua and Caleb saw in the supernatural, but he was willing to have this unfiltered confidence in God in adversity, to the point where people were going to kill him. You know, I could imagine that the minute that people started picking up stones, I might have tried to say it differently. You know, like what, like, guys, look, what I'm trying to say is, like, maybe we could do that. You know, it might have a different picture. You know, you might have a different way you want to go about saying it. But for Joshua, as they're picking up stones, he's unfiltered in his confidence of God. Pick up your stones. God will still do it if you let him. If we were to just go out, God will fulfill it. And even as the people are against him, he believed God could do it 1,000%. He is just so full of faith. If he has any giftings, he has great leadership giftings, but if he had any giftings that we would really want to admire, it would be the fact that he has this amazing faith to believe God. That even in this situation, this unwavering belief and faith that God will do it. I've been in plenty of situations where I prayed for something to happen. And even though I prayed and prayed and even fasted for something to happen, it's hard to overcome those doubts. Y'all know what I'm saying? It's hard to overcome some of those little voices saying like, yeah, but it's not really going to work. It's hard to overcome that. For Joshua, he inspires us to truly just swan dive into faith with no plan B. He's telling these people, we can do it. We don't need a backup plan. We don't need to have another idea of how we could go about it if the first way doesn't work. Saying God will do it. 1,000% of his faith is in that. And to consider that his hope and his trust in God seemed like foolishness to the people at the time. To where they didn't want to hear that noise anymore. They're ready to end him. It seemed like foolishness. But to us today, it seemed like this superhero-like faith that ended up being grounded in wisdom. The Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. He was actually making the most wise decision, which they considered foolish. And it was a simple trust in God above all else. Now that leads us to our last point, which is catapulted promotion. It's this idea to step into the future by learning from and honoring the past. See, I think oftentimes when we have promotion and aren't spiritual about it, we often just replace the people that were before us. And that's it. For Joshua, his honoring of the past, his learning of the past, is what catapulted him further than Moses. To where he did more than what Moses did. He established the people of Israel in the promised land. Moses helped deliver the people out of Egypt, but Joshua established their new nation. He was able to do more because he learned from the past and he honored the past. He catapulted forward. And it's this unique aspect that for Joshua, the very first thing that is told to him is be careful to listen to all of the words of Moses and the writings that I gave to him. God tells Joshua, and he does. He is so faithful to the honoring of the instructions that were before him. And on top of that, he paid attention to Moses. And throughout this idea that he learned from the past and honored the instruction before him, throughout the Bible, when we go into 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, and we see time and time again different leaders of Israel who rejected and disregarded the past and their predecessors completely, disregarded their instructions, disregarded their ways completely as they tried to make their own way by just replacing the people before them, and most of them failed miserably at it. There are these three key principles that we're going to learn about from Joshua and how he handled this new promotion. The first one is the idea of less is sometimes more. Y'all remember the story that we just went, well, they sent 12 spies into the land. Well, Joshua, when they start out, when they go to Jericho, he sends only 2 spies. He learned, it's a simple lesson, but it's one that we often overlooked. And see, 12 to 2. Consider about when you step into a new position, what we often do is we try to coax our ego. People try to do like a power move. Just consider any church that starts a new church or anyone that takes over. Let me say it like that. What I've seen, usually when someone takes over a church that's been established for like 50 years, one of the first things that they do is change the name. It's the first thing. It's like a power move, you know? It's like, we got to just go bigger, more. And usually you want to put this like flex that you know what you're doing, and you make this big push. You're going to have a big party. For Joshua, he does a lot less. He sends only 2 people out. And he doesn't coax his ego. He reevaluated these areas to not just make it seem like he's big in charge now, but he looked at areas that he could make more effective, even if it meant less of something. We get caught up in either trying to keep up with the other people around us as we often compare ourselves to one another in attempts to feel validated. This is again, we're looking at all areas. We're not just talking about like a job or a promotion. We're talking about even when it comes to raising our kids. You know, consider parents, how often we will compare our parenting to somebody else's. So-and-so got this new little contraption, or they started cooking their rice in little shapes of dinosaurs. I'm going to do that too. It's like this comparison game to where we buy more things or get new things or try to do something new as really what we're trying to do with more is feel validated in our new role. For Joshua, he worked on all of those insecurities ahead of time to where he didn't need to feel validated by doing something extra. He felt confident and was able to make concise decisions in his role. So we can, with our parenting, with our marriages, with our new jobs, with whatever it may be. The other thing that we learned from him is this idea to not try to do everything yourself. Don't try to do everything yourself. Moses, Joshua saw this. Remember, Joshua saw Moses was burnt out by the end of his life, way before the end of his life. And he was constantly so stressed out to where his prayers, when we read it in scripture, were often like, God, I didn't give birth to these people. Why are they demanding this of me? And he's constantly stressed and burdened by all of the responsibilities that he was carrying. There's a point early on where even when it came to being judged for the people, that all of the people would only come to him. From the biggest deals to the smallest deals, he was judging for all of people. And it wasn't until his father-in-law said, this is too much for you. You need to delegate. And we see time and time again to where all the responsibilities were put on Moses' shoulders. For Joshua, we see that when they go into the land, he delegates to each individual tribe of Israel, you battle the people. You battle the people for your own land. This is the land, these are the borders, and he told each tribe, you're going to handle your own business. And consider that he could have said, we're all going to go together, we're all going to do it, and I'm going to be right there with you. Again, that feeds our pride, that ego, that I did it, I helped you, I did this. But for Joshua, he delegated all of that responsibility because he saw how burnt out it made Moses. And even though Moses was always trying to make sure things were perfect as he did his best to hold things together, Joshua empowered through delegation. And what that means for us on a normal scale is that he recognized people's individual potential to do more, to help. He in turn empowered that delegation empowered him to have a brighter mental and emotional state as he led. We don't see Joshua emotionally exhausted like we saw Moses. You look through Moses' story and it stresses me out. Joshua doesn't seem emotionally strained. He doesn't seem burnt out. But see, what we do see is that he did what he could. He did what he could do, and he asked people to help with the rest. And he also knew when to say no. There's a key moment where people, one of the tribes go to Joshua and say, these people are too great for us and we need more land. We need more land than what we've already taken. And we want you to help us to get rid of the rest of the people because they have iron chariots and we just need more space. And Joshua responds instead of saying like, oh, okay, let's go, guys. He says, well, since you're such a great numerous people that needs more land, then it shouldn't be a problem for you. You need to handle it yourself. He tells them no. And I think that's like one of the most valuable things that we can take from this today, especially in these transitions of promotion in our life. It's where you don't have to say yes to everything. You can examine things and recognize like, no, I can't do this. I may be able to right now, but it's going to burn me out for later. Especially if like you're going to have a baby, like Deja, you're about to pop, girl. Like, it's like when you have a new baby, that's a promotion and a transition. You got to learn to say no to things or you're going to be so burnt out. You're going to be so stressed out mentally and emotionally. And you don't feel it right away. You feel it 2 weeks from now. Joshua knew when to say no. And the last thing that we're going to pull from Joshua is that he believed God for the full victory no matter what he saw. And it's this idea of going back to the true spirituality, the authentic spirituality of Joshua. To where he was full of faith. And it's in the moment where, in one of the key battles, Joshua heard God say to him, I will give them completely into your hands. The sun will not go down until you fully finish the battle. And he was going off of this little notion. Well, they're like 3/4 done. And the sun was starting to set. It was going down. And Joshua makes a prayer for God to cause the sun to stand still so that they can finish their assignment, so that they could finish their mission. And the Bible says that the sun stood still. And that it's this idea to where I don't know how that like worked out, if it was the sun or if it was like a spaceship. You know, I don't know if it was like some conspiracy stuff. But what I know is that it seemed like the sun stood still. However that looked out in the universe or the world, I don't know. But I do know that his prayer worked and that he believed God for the full victory. And to consider that he held onto this promise when it was 3/4 of the way answered. When we have those 3/4 promises, we usually settle, right? It's like, well, it's mostly what I was, yeah, it's kind of what I was praying for. And we settle for it. But here, instead of settling, he prayed in a ridiculous and audacious way. I've never prayed for something like that. I've never prayed for like gravity to stop. Well, there was that one time. But to just consider, I pray for like the fuel to not go out. Like God, like let there be gas in this car. Stuff like that. And I really believed it was a miracle. But to consider that he prayed these things that seems almost ridiculous. And yet it happened. And yet it worked out. The fullest extent, no matter what his eyes were seeing. To consider that he's literally trusting God more than the sun itself. He's trusting God. He's truly living by faith and not by sight. The sun was setting. He said, no, God will. God will finish this. It is a beautiful moment. And all of these different things that we're learning about Joshua, there's one passage of scripture, the last one I want to share with y'all today, that could easily be overlooked. And it's this one right here. It says in Exodus 33:11, so the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. See, in this moment, we see Joshua attending Moses as Moses is speaking to God in this tent. Moses leaves, yet Joshua stays in the tent. Why? There's no reason that's given in Scripture. There's only speculation that could be made. What I see is that Joshua had simply this heart after God to where he wanted to stay in the presence of God, that he was simply in awe of God and desired to be near him. And even though it didn't make any practical sense, it didn't say that God also, and Joshua stayed behind and said, God, can you speak to me too? It didn't say that God spoke to Joshua face to face. He simply stayed there in the presence of where God was. For no other reason except to be close to him. And I think that that is the most powerful thing that we can learn about Joshua, that we can take into our own lives. If we were to throw out everything from this message, which would be a little rude because I worked really hard on it. But if we could keep this alone and see the simple Joshua desire to be in the presence of God. And that is what carried him through every lost moment of his life. You know, there's sometimes where I go through those trials, those difficult times, to where I don't even have the words. You know, you ever get those moments where you don't even have the words to pray? You almost feel too tired to pray. Not like sleepy tired, but tired in your spirit. And then those moments, there'd be times where I would just sit in silence and just have this heart that I just want to worship God. I just want to be in the presence of God. And for me, in those lost moments, I feel like being in the worship and presence of God can be some of the most fulfilling experiences that you actually need to cause you to feel found again. And as we get ready to go and worship today, I want everyone here to bow your head and close your eyes. And I want you to consider where you're at with your walk with God. And I want you to ask yourselves what it is for you and your Creator. The Bible says in the book of Romans that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is who he says he is, surely you shall be saved. And what it's saying is the access to that presence, the access to the Spirit of God is through Jesus. And everything that we're talking about today, everything that we're reading about, it was a shadow of who was to come. That connecting voice is through Jesus. And if you've never made a decision to put your trust in him, but you want to make that decision today, Jesus himself said that his mission was to come and find that which was lost. For many of us, we may feel lost right now. Maybe we felt lost a week ago, a month ago, years ago. Whatever it is, if you know that you need to make a decision to be found by Jesus, and you want to do that today, with every head bowed and eye closed, I want you to just raise your hand. I see your hands. See your hands. So now I want you to make that simple conversation yourself. I already said that all you have to do is have an authentic heart and talk to him yourself. You don't need me to lead you through a pretty prayer. You can talk to him yourself. Acknowledge who he is, the Son of God that died on the cross and rose from the dead. And that's all it takes to start this journey with him, this relationship with him. It's all it takes to be found. Now, while they're doing that, for the rest of you, if you feel like this was a message that you needed to hear today, you feel like the Holy Spirit is trying to encourage you and trying to speak to you, with every head still bowed and eye closed, I want you to raise your hand. I see your hands. I see your hands. Now I'm going to pray for you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you finish what you started in these people's lives, that you encourage them. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you show them the real power of God. You say in your word that the kingdom of God is not of mere talk, but of power. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would go forth and fill each of these people here today. That those who are looking, that they would find you. Those who are searching, they would find you. Those who are knocking on your door, that you would open it. And I pray that you answer whatever it is that they're asking. I pray, Lord, that they would find the Spirit of God in their lives, and that you'd bless them and cause your favor to be with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being a part of the Gravetop Church online community. I hope that today's message inspired you and that it made a difference in your life. If you'd like to connect with our church or if you'd like to donate towards our mission, all you have to do is go to gravetopchurch.com and find the Ways to Connect tab or the Donate tab. Either way, I'm so grateful for you being a part of today. Until next time, have a great life.